Hello and welcome to Abandoned Cart, the podcast we wish we had when running our own e-commerce store. I'm Adam, co-founder of Pink Leopard, a growth acceleration agency specializing in e-commerce. Today, we will be discussing the importance of a customer-first approach. And joining us to chat about this is Amy Reardon, CEO of Sachin & Babby, a beautiful fashion brand committed to incredible craftsmanship and a desire to connect with customers, resulting in extraordinary clothing and accessories with tremendous value. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
No, it's our pleasure. We're very, very lucky to have you. As always, we ask this question to all of our guests. Can you tell the listeners what the best advice you've ever received is and how it has impacted your life?
So I received this advice a very long time ago, and it actually wasn't from somebody in my business career. It was from my father. And my father, we were having a conversation, and I was talking about somebody else and saying they had gotten a little bit farther than I had in a shorter amount of time. And my father listened to me, and he said, Amy, the most dangerous thing you can do is ever compare yourself to anybody else, because there is nobody that is quite like you, and there's nobody quite like them. So the only person you should be competing with is yourself. And I really took it to heart. And I think about that every time I am challenged in a situation, or any time I dare to think I'm not quite good enough. I have to remember that my path is my path, and I shouldn't be comparing myself to other people. I can admire them for what they're doing, but that my journey is my journey, and I'll get there in my own good time.
I love that. And I think it's probably even more prominent in kind of this day and age, where we have that Instagram versus reality type of mindset, where you're following different businesses, different people on their paths and their journeys. And what we see outward facing isn't always the reality behind closed doors. And I think we can fall into that trap of comparing ourselves sometimes, but I think that's great advice to run your own race and go at your own pace. I think that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Wise man, your father.
Yes, he was. He was. I had excellent parents. I have to give them a lot of credit for everything that I do.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, cool. Before we dive into this then, could you just give the listeners an overview of who you are and a little bit of your background?
Sure. So I have been, since I graduated from college, I have been in the fashion industry. I started at Bergdorf Goodman after I graduated because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And my mom told me, also a very wise person, go work at Bergdorf so get a great wardrobe. So when you start interviewing for where you really want to work, you'll have it. So I was there, and retail is a rough business. It was a rough business, but I really enjoyed when the corporate representatives would come to the store and I would get a glimpse of what they were doing. So after a year there, I was lucky enough to get a position at what is now the Tapestry Group. And I worked for a number of amazing people. My last boss was Angela Arendts, and Angela went on to be the CEO of Burberry and the SVP of Apple. And now she's doing amazing things, as the amazing person that she is. And I really found being with her, that was really something I wanted to do. I wanted to be part of the big decisions. I wanted to see how I could move the brand further. And just in recognizing that the people skills and the relationships that you need to grow on top of the analytical skills that you need to have, I felt like that was something I could really do. I became really engaged in the brand piece of it, understanding what branding actually was at a time when they were throwing words around like omnichannel, but they didn't really know what that meant. Omnichannel means you are wherever the customer wants to be. It doesn't mean I have a store here and an e-com site and I sell at Saks Fifth Avenue. So I became really obsessed with that part of it. And then I was lucky enough to get into the creative side of it, which was the creative marketing, styling, doing photo shoots. I went to another brand that was a successful brand, less well known, but a very profitable brand, had a really strong base. And they just were so generous with me and let me cut my teeth and work with the design group. And I had an amazing creative agency, and I got the bug for styling and creating a brand sensibility, from the way that the product looked to the way that it sounded, to the way that we engaged with the customer, to the way that we engaged with our clients, because it was a brand that was really there. The business model was to have stylists, private stylists across the country. And there were about 1,200 of them. So everybody was my customer. The end user who got the dress was my customer, but also the stylist was my customer. I answered to everybody. And that was a tremendous learning, just to understand all of the places that you touch before it actually gets to the person that makes them happy. So from the packaging to the hang tags, all of that makes an impression, and the language that you use and the follow-up that you have and the customer care and the way that you send them the clothes is so meaningful. So I was really lucky to be able to get that kind of experience. And then I went to a few startups and got some lumps, which is excellent for anybody in their career. Succeeding all the time is boring. So sometimes failing teaches you more than always being on the winning side of the table. And I think some of those experiences, why some people wouldn't say that there were explicit failures, they didn't have the same success that I had, luckily, knock on wood, experienced to that date. And they were lessons that I needed to learn. And then I found myself here at Saatchi & Bobby. I was familiar with the brand. They had a beautiful foundation. They're well-loved within the fashion community and just rarefied customer base. And they wanted to really understand how they could bring their product to more people. So when I came on board, that was the task at hand. And I'm very lucky to have such a lovely team that is so generous with me, that Saatchi and Bobby both let me do what needed to be done. And they trusted me, and I trusted that we were going to get there because I saw so much potential in the brand. And we have seen a tremendous amount of growth in the last several years.
Fantastic. So you've been on quite the journey, plenty of experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, some really great mentors along the way as well, really helping you get to where you are now. So that's amazing. I suppose the one kind of thread there that I got from explaining your journey was on the topic of today, really, and the importance of putting your customer at the heart and having a customer first approach. Everything you said about the packaging and really understanding who your customer is really plays into that. Yeah, a very good introduction to the topic today. So what exactly do you mean when we talk about customer first approach?
So I think sometimes it's very easy for brands that want to be authentic to stay their course and not get the help from their customers that they need, because that's how I look at it. Feedback that I get from our customers is not intended to make us feel as though our product isn't what it should be. It's intended to tell us what our product could be and how we could make more of them happy. So we are a destination for all things occasion, and we're the companion on some of their most special day. This could be, this is their graduation, or this is the mother of the bride or groom, or this is she's going to a huge event and she's being honored. We have lots of executives in the entertainment business that you'll see on the red carpet, or winners of Emmys and Oscars that are in the background that have worn our clothes, not to mention all of the celebrities that have worn our clothes. But when I got here, that wasn't something that the team really had visibility to, because I think they were so concentrated on making amazing, beautiful product that spoke to the brand's DNA that they didn't have members of their team that were thinking of how do we scale. So the way to scale is to figure out what you're doing right and what you're not doing as well as you could in order to make those improvements so you can reach more people. The whole goal is we want people to wear our dresses. These are not to be hung in museums. While they could be, our goal is to really have people enjoy them. This is not a vanity project. We are so thrilled when we see people like mothers of the bride who are posting and tagging us and saying that we made them feel so beautiful and so special. And that's really, it's a business, of course. I'm not trying to pretend we're the fashion fairies buzzing around making people's dreams come true. But the truth is that when you make someone else feel good, you selfishly feel good as well and you want to keep doing it. And I think our team has gotten that bug. We like how it feels to make our customers feel really special, because that's the whole intention. So that's what I mean when I say we listen to our customers. The intention is that it's to create a better product and a better experience, because that's what we're here for. We don't want to waste your time, and we don't want to waste our time not doing something as well as we possibly could.
I love that. I think the what you said about what the product could be, I think is a really important thing to take away from this here, because having that feedback loop then of what actually can we continue to improve and get better, and what are they telling us? And that's what I got from that. There, really key takeaway. What can the product actually be? And that's an amazing thing to, amazing kind of mantra and way to think about it, I think.
Yeah, that's how, to be perfectly honest, that's how we've improved. When I came here, they had beautiful things that needed to be more acutely looked at, meaning the design was beautiful. And everything you did from an aesthetic point of view and a quality point of view and a construction point of view was fantastic. But there was a buffer once it got to the customer, because she wanted to love it. She wanted to keep it. But there was something there that was stopping her from being able to do that. So there was a lot of good to work with from the very beginning.
Okay, so that makes sense. So we understand the kind of why behind a customer first approach. But how exactly do you listen to customers? What's the process there?
So we're very hands-on here, which is what it needed to be. But we have a multi-tiered approach. So we have on our site, we sell in a number of different places. We sell in retailers like Saks Fifth Avenue and Neiman Marcus and specialty boutiques across the country. And we also have a very robust e-commerce business. That is really the lion's share of our business. And reason being is because we can control everything from start to finish there. Meaning I can see their journey from when they come in, where we've directed them, where they'd like to stay. And it's not from the perspective of we're trying to keep a close tab on the customer. That's part of learning. That's part of the listening, right? So there's the very literal listening where we hear from customer service, but there's also the digital piece of the listening where I see this message they preferred. It drove them to this site. They converted here and out it went. The other piece that we do is that we have a really wonderful customer service team here, and we take care in speaking, whether it's via chat, on the phone, or via email. We speak with every customer that wants to speak with us. And we ask for feedback. We ask them, what was it that made you not want to keep that beautiful dress because you fell in love with it? So when they give us, when you're thoughtful and you ask the question, and it's not with the intention of upselling or trying to push that product back on them, they're more receptive to giving you that answer. And as sometimes your biggest critics can turn into your biggest proponents. So that is something that's really important to us as well, is that you don't have to end up wearing our clothes, but we want to know for the future use that come to us, what could we have done better? What could have been improved? What was that point at which you decided you couldn't move forward with us?
Yeah, it sounds like you've created that real culture, that kind of genuine culture of feedback and trying to understand your customer. And I think that really shines through.
Yeah.
Because when you are totally available for your customer to give that, to have that feedback, but to answer their questions, that's real kind of brand piece in a sense. You are thinking of the future of the business. What are people going to think about our brand in 5 to 10 years time? Yes, you create beautiful clothes, but you have that culture of being open to feedback and really making improvements for the betterment of your customer. And I think that really shines through from what you said.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. If you're not in brand and marketing and you're not seeing the big picture of it, I always tell everybody, I said, my best marketing tools are my customer service and my warehouse team. Because my customer service is on the front lines and my warehouse team is who is taking care of my product, and they are sending it out in such a way that the customer understands that we care for the product and them just as much as they do. So those are the two pieces those are like unsung heroes, I think, in the marketing and branding space, that your marketing is only as good as the last hands that touch your product and your customer.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, the other point that you touched on about being data led, that kind of active conversations, but then understanding and analyzing the data to see kind of customer behavior.
That's very important. Knowing how to read that information. There are analysts that can pull the information for you. These are all of the different segments that you need to look at. But it's a different sort of set of eyes that can take a look at that data and understand how you from A got to Z. So it's really understanding the customer psychology piece of it is super important, because just leaving data flat without any color to it is, I think, sometimes can also be misleading and send you in the wrong direction. Because if I reacted every time somebody said it's too big at the bust, then I'd be refitting things every 2 seconds. So you have to, you have to weigh that with other data. And you have to trust also the people that you have on your teams from a technical design standpoint. And you have to either meet in the middle, or you have to say, listen, this dress just isn't for this type of body. So we have to make sure that we have other options for them that are just as beautiful, so they don't feel as though they're left out of the party.
Yeah, sure. That makes a lot of sense. And I suppose that's being completely customer centric still, though, isn't it? Looking at each and every individual there. But I suppose when you've got this culture and you've got so much information coming to you, how do you choose and decide which to listen to?
So I think part of it is experience, right? I've been around for a little while. And so I think that's sometimes you just have to use your best judgment. I'm also very much involved with all the product. I sit in every single fitting. I sit in every design meeting. Sometimes I'm just a fly on the wall, but I'm very much here to make sure that we have the best product and that from a consumer perspective, this is something that she's going to want to adopt and she's going to want to wear. So I think because I'm so close to the process, when I go through some of those comments, because I read them, and I understand what that particular product is intended to do. And sometimes it's personal preference, but if you are sensitive to certain parts of your body, this is not the right dress for you. But it also informs us of other shapes that we should have. So this person loved, for example, we have a gown that we can't ever keep in inventory. We're constantly recutting her. She's probably one of the top, you'll probably see her all over Instagram at weddings. But we realized we got feedback and we didn't want to ruin a good thing. We made some tweaks to it, but it made us think we need to have an alternative to this dress that is giving this customer this one thing that this dress doesn't give her, right? So whether it was coverage, whether it was the seam sat a little higher for her, that's what it does. It actually helps me to create more bestsellers. And that's how we look at it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And so I suppose on top of that then, how are you able to maintain that consistency and brand integrity if you are always putting your customer first?
I think our brand DNA is pretty good. So to be fair, what I'm doing when I'm listening to the customer is I'm trying to give her the best possible fit. I'm not asking her to design our clothes. Either you agree with our aesthetic point of view or you don't. I don't think we would never change directionally from a fashion perspective who we are. What we're really trying to do, because that's the death knell, right, for a brand, trying to be everything to everybody, that's never going to be our intention. Sachin and Bobby are incredibly talented. Their design team is incredibly talented. I'm never going to tell them stop doing this because there are 100 customers over here who don't like it. We sell internationally. There's plenty to go around. All I want to make sure that we do is that we are doing the very best version of who we are. So I would never in a million years ask them to step away from what they do so well in order to satisfy a small group of people.
I think that's really important because a lot of businesses do fall into that trap in every type of business, not just e-commerce and fashion. Yeah. You try and let's do a little bit of this and it might open up and unlock these new markets and new audiences. But I think that is really important, staying true to your core of who you are as Sachin and Bobby, but having a really open mindset of your customer and listening to them. But totally get what you're saying. You need to remain focused of who you are, but being able to be a bit liberal and open-minded with what you could be, so, or what the product could be earlier.
I have always been a big test and learn person. So we have done that. We have branched off into areas where it may not have been where we had a ton of practical knowledge in that particular niche, but we test and learn until we get to a place where we feel like, okay, this is the product that we're looking for, they're looking for rather, and now we're going to start getting offering in a little bit more of a robust fashion. So it may start with two silhouettes and we test and learn until we get it right, because everybody really comes to us for color and print. Nobody does it better. And I can say that even if I didn't work here, I could happily say if I want color and print, I would go to Saatchi & Bobby, because that is absolutely where they can outshine most of their peers. Mm-hmm. And also, again, the understanding of the women and the different segments of women and profiles of women who come to us for different things. From the socialite to the woman where this is like the biggest day of her life and it's probably only going to happen once, we have such a wide breadth of customers, and we appreciate every single one of them.
Yeah. I think it's amazing what you've been part of and what's being created at Saatchi & Bobby. It's a really beautiful brand, and listening to you and understanding more about it and how deep you go into the business and your customer and everything from the ideation right through to delivery. It's really amazing to hear.
And again, like I said, it wouldn't be possible if I didn't have such a generous creative group as well. I think I get a little bit of credibility because I had a part of my career was creative. But I do think sometimes it's challenging. And if you don't have everybody here at the executive level and at the design level and at the marketing level, everybody's on the same page. We all have the same goals. The communication is very clear. It is about growing the company in a way that we are all very proud of. And we're continuing to find new markets. And that goes from digital to wholesale. We really do, it sounds a little corny, but we really do, even though we've grown considerably, little emails from people that are telling us how important it was for them. Those are big wins for us. We have big financial goals, and sometimes it's those little comments that make us feel like, no problem. No problem. We can totally do this.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how the rest of your journey goes, because I do follow you and obviously the business. Yeah, very exciting. And thank you for all of that. It's been incredibly insightful. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you think would be relevant or interesting for the listeners to hear?
No, the only thing that I would end this on is I was on a panel recently and they asked me, what advice would you give? And my advice is two things. Always remember to say please and thank you. I know that sounds silly, but that is something that everybody appreciates. And that's from within your own company all the way to your customer. It's always important. And I would say, if you love what you do, you will always do it better. You have to find the passion in whatever you do. It may not be the thing that you thought it was going to be, but if you find a way to love it, you will be the star of the show.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. You do have to really be passionate about what you do for it to shine through to your customers, what we've been talking about today. But yeah, couldn't agree more. And I suppose on that, thank you for joining us. And thank you all to the listeners as well for listening to the show. And if you did enjoy it, please subscribe and follow us for more episodes. We've got plenty more coming soon. And if you like it that much, please leave us a review. If you're keen to discuss any aspect of digital marketing for your business, then the team at Pink Leopard is more than happy to help. Just visit pinkleopard.co.uk for contact details. Amy, thank you so much again. It's been an absolute pleasure to host you. And yeah, looking forward to seeing what happens.
Thank you so much. It was such have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you again.
Thank you. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.